It's the medals of Private Ryan. You will always remember Saving Private Ryan, the star Tom Hanks. Well, the medals of Private Patrick Ryan have been discovered, and they were discovered in a coat that was handed into a charity shop. Now, to talk a little bit more about that, I'm delighted to welcome to the programme the manager of Skibbereen Heritage Centre, Terry Carney. Terry, good evening.
Darragh, lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you too, and I get the feeling that you were dancing away there in the background.
Oh, I was shimmying, actually.
Oh, were you now? Is that what you do in the Heritage Centre in Skibbereen?
When it's empty, yes, I do.
When it's empty, indeed. I was saying to you off air, I was down at the Queenstown Heritage Centre in Cove yesterday, and I was talking about your good self, and they were all delighted to hear that I was going to be talking to you about the medals. They were sort of hoping that they had them themselves.
Oh, excellent. I know. It's a sad story in a way, but hopefully there'll be a happy ending out of it.
Yes, indeed. So, talk to me about the medals. You know, it was a unique find inside in a coat handed into a charity shop.
Yeah, well, it's the story is they a fantastic a volunteer at Kailkill Charity Shop, Steve Ross, was going through some of the bags that were handed into them, and there was an old tweed jacket, a gentleman's tweed jacket, that was actually too worn to resell. But when he was putting it into the pile of rags, you know, because they resell them, he thought it felt a bit heavy. So, clever man that he is, he checked the pockets, and there were the two medals. And they were debating what to do with them. And a few years ago, they came to me because a few years ago, there was another even sadder one. If you've ever heard of them, they're the World War One memorial plaques. They're called the Death Penny, Dara, if you've ever heard of them.
I have indeed, yeah.
Yeah, so there was one of those, which, cut a long story short, was travelling around the UK trying to find, and they knew the soldier was from Skibbereen, and he came to Skibbereen, and it ended up in my hands. And I wasn't happy until I found a home for this young man, Stephen Sweetenham, because he had no family left. After a lot of research, we couldn't find any family. But we found that his uncle was a vicar in the local church here in Affadown. And the Affadown parish agreed to take the plaque. And it's now up in St. Matthew's Church, his plaque, along with a little piece about him. So he's come home. That's the closest we could get to home. So the people in Kailkill Charity Shop found this online and said, oh, we'll take this over to Terry. She'll figure this one out. So they arrived at the door here with the two medals. So that's how I got involved in it.
Why? What a story. Now, for listeners who mightn't have seen the movie or might be aware, Private Ryan was a volunteer who was likely to have joined up in 1914 and dug trenches in some of the most hostile battlefields of the conflict, possibly included Gallipoli, where thousands of his comrades were slaughtered by the Turkish army. It's believed that Private Ryan also served in the Balkans and Egypt, so he really got around.
He did. And we know for certain, we don't know if he saw active service by fact in either Gallipoli or Egypt, but we know for certain he saw active action in the Western Front, because he was brought back. They were evacuated out of Egypt in January 1916, and then he was brought back to France with the Royal Munster Fusiliers. And as you say, he was a volunteer with the Fusiliers, and he joined very early on. But he's cited for the military medal, so that would have been for some form of bravery for fighting on the Western Front. However, it wasn't awarded. Now, we don't know why, but all we know is it wasn't awarded. And then he was transferred to the Labour Corps. So the Labour Corps, as you say, dug trenches, provided support to the fighting men. And then, shortly afterwards, he was honourably discharged, maybe as a result of illness or recovery after wounds, which would be the same reason he was put over to the Labour Corps to start with. And he came home with his life. But here's the bit that gets a bit confusing. He re-enlisted. And he was no longer considered fit for combat duty. So he re-enlisted in the Labour Corps again. And we were able to track where he went. He worked a lot in France. And the Labour Corps, you should say, you're not seeing active service, but a lot of his colleagues were killed. And it was a really, you know, it was a very difficult service. You know, they provided support to the army, but they also had to, you know, dig up people, bodies that were already buried in an effort to identify them and so on. So he really served at the raw end of it in his two terms in World War One. So we're really, really hoping that we can find a home for these medals.
And do we have any idea, I mentioned earlier on that he may have hailed from County Tipperary. Do we have any lineage, you know, to find out where exactly he was from or who his family are?
I'm afraid the Tipperary link is very, very tenuous. It is a Tipperary name, and actually we've had a lot of contacts from people in the last couple of days, and there's one of them that's looking very hopeful. But I just before I was talking to you, messaged back there now to try and get, because we want to make sure we're going in the definite right direction. And this would have been, his father was a teacher in Tipperary and came down to live in West Cork in an area that would be right for Kailkill. But we'll just want to make sure that we're after the right person first. And the other thing that we're still chasing as well is, he was cited for the military medal, so, and then he was transferred to the Labour Corps. So that might tell you that he was injured. And there are some records of injuries, and the fantastic people in the Medal Society of Ireland are double-checking that as well, because we've exhausted all of the records. So what I was hoping locally is that it would jog somebody's memory that somebody re-enlisted twice. But we're still not over with it. You know, there's still a few avenues to follow to see if we can bring these medals back to Patrick Ryan's family.
Yeah, it's such an interesting story. And as you said, you know, to re-enlist a second time was very, very unusual and uncommon at the time. The fact that he was cited and nominated for a bravery award, the military medal, but he was not awarded for some reason. Do we have any idea what happened to him after his second enlistment, where he went or, you know, what became of him?
That's where we lose him. Yeah, that's where we lose him.
Right.
But the thing that I keep hanging on to is these medals were found in the pocket of a jacket. Dara. So, you know, they weren't, if you had those medals, you'd put them in a biscuit box or you'd put them in a case or you'd put them in an attic or you'd put them somewhere safe, you know. But clearly these medals were being carried around by someone. These medals, they had an emotional resonance for whoever had them in their pocket, you know, and this was an everyday jacket. So I think, you know, we were hoping initially that somebody would remember the jacket being handed in, but unfortunately that hasn't jogged anybody's memory. But these medals meant something to someone that would probably be his descendants, because he would be so old now, it was probably not his own jacket, or possibly yes, you know. But they're close to someone. So I that's what I'm hoping, is that someone just needs to hear this. You know, that's why we were trying to publicise it, that someone needs to hear this.
I did mention earlier on, Terry, in the programme that we do have a connection with Kailkill, because Noreen Murphy, who founded Lachine's House Suicide Prevention and Counselling, comes from that area. And I know they have a facility in Skibbereen as well. So maybe I'll get the call out to them as well. And through their avenues and, you know, whatever routes they take, they can get the message out, because it would be lovely to return these medals to the descendants of Patrick Ryan.
Yes. Exactly, yeah. I find a very good home for them, as in the case now of that young Stephen Sweetnam. You know, there was none of his family left, but he lived with his uncle in Affidown, so that's the closest thing to his family that's left here. So we're looking for the closest thing to family that, because these two medals, they were standard service medals. You know, there was the military medal that he wasn't given, but these two medals that exist are standard service medals. They were given to every serviceman who saw service in 1914 and 15, but they are evidence that this man risked his life not once but twice, you know. So it's they're very important in their own right. They really are.
They are, of course. And Terry, where are the medals now? Are they on display in the Heritage Centre, or can anybody see them?
No, they're back in Kailkill, but anybody can see them. They're on our Facebook page and on the Kailkill Charity Book Shop Facebook page. And we're welcoming if anybody thinks they know, if this rings a bell with anybody, please get in touch via the Facebook page, either our Facebook page or Kailkill Charity Shop. We've had a lot of contacts. Like I said, that one now with the connection to Tipperary, the father, and his other two brothers actually also, if it's the right, there's three brothers that served in the war, and the man that contacted me is the grandson of one of those, so this would have been his granduncle. So I just messaged him back there now, looking to see if we can tie it down a little bit more and see. But that's the closest we've come so far. So, you know, hopefully.
That is just fantastic. Now, slightly separate, you're the manager of the Skibbereen Heritage Centre. How are things going down there?
They're going grand altogether. Yes, we're looking forward to the season again, Dara. You know, it's great. We had a fantastic year afterwards, fantastic year last year. So we're looking forward to the same again. And love welcoming people to our centre and letting them learn about the Great Famine in Skibbereen, and and meeting all those people again. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I must come down and visit the centre. I have to admit I haven't been there. I have been to Skibbereen many times. I performed a concert some years ago in the Church of Ireland church there in Skibbereen. Beautiful, beautiful church. But, you know, for anybody that's down in the West Cork area, a visit to the Skibbereen Heritage Centre is certainly a place to go to. And as you mentioned, the Skibbereen famine and everything else, you know, there's history everywhere and it's good to learn about history.
Absolutely. Our town is the closest thing to a physical museum that there is because, you know, Skibbereen was synonymous with the Great Famine, but so many of the buildings are still left there, Dara. You know, there's three mass graves, there's the soup kitchen, there's the workhouse, you know, there's... You, and these places have a resonance about them. So the idea is you come here first and learn about them and then visit some of the sites afterwards. So I have a hot date with you the next time you're in West Cork now in Skibbereen.
Now, Terry Kearney, the week after Valentine's, how can I refuse that? You're very kind.
I'd love to. And I'll take you to one of the sites too and I guarantee you'd be moved.
Well, Terry, I really appreciate your time coming on. Look, it's a great story and we'll come back to it again. And if you have any more information or if you find the rightful owners or whatever, let us know. But certainly we'll get a podcast of this up and we'll spread the word out there. And I look forward to coming down and taking you up on that date.
Lovely, Darragh. Very same as that. Thank you very much indeed.
Terry, take care. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.